It is time for another edition of What's Going On Out There, Ruth, with Ruth Epstein, Robin Hood Radio's intrepid, adventurous, and always there reporter. Ruth, here we are. What's going on out there?
Well, we're at the end of one year and looking to the next. As we start the new year, there are many issues that we dealt with in 25 that we'll be dealing with in 26. Trying to think some of the highlights. I would say probably affordable housing is one that we'll be seeing a lot of in this coming year. We know that's a problem that's been listed by every town when its goals are looking to be straightened or stated. And so I'm sure that's going to continue into the new year. There are several projects that are within in the works or being completed or will be started. We have several, the ones that came through this grant from the Housing Opportunity, in which we have new houses going up or almost going up in Lakeville, the one across from the White Hart. There are two houses there that will almost completed. The ones in Cornwall, we have one that families are living in already, one ready to go, and the ones in Cornwall and Washington. So I'm guessing that's going to be front and center this year. Also looking forward to maybe, Michael, this year we see Holly Place.
I don't know. It's you know, they've done nothing up there. No markings, no anything has gone on. So
really, okay. They talked about, you know, the money is coming, but
maybe they're rethinking it, because in honesty, when you're building something and the price has gotten to where it is on that,
yeah. Well, that's going to be the key.
The nonprofit that runs it is going to have a hard time with that.
The key is increasing prices.
Yeah.
Houses and projects that start at one estimate and then wait for a few years, just, you know, the price.
Yeah, well, that's there, you hit the nail on the head. That's the problem. It takes so long to get anything accomplished, and by the time you get to, quote, shovel ready,
mm-hmm.
the cost of the project is doubled or tripled in some cases.
Yeah.
And you go through all these hearings and you go through court cases, and you know, the pace of affordable housing around here really needs to pick up severely, because they've got huge waiting lists. I know people that are on waiting lists.
It's
how long do you wait for affordable housing? Year, mm-hmm. year and a half, 2 years?
And then we lose folks. They can't stay here any longer.
Exactly.
So they're moving away.
So they're gone away, and then another project comes up, another 2 years' worth of delays on it. It's somewhere somebody needs to streamline this bureaucracy on it. And make it move. If we need it that bad, we need to do something.
Something
real
needs
action.
To change. By the way, do they build in, given that the prices have been rising relentlessly for ages, do they build in for that?
Well, everybody has contingencies, but with the rate of, especially over the last 4 years, 5 years, the rate of which prices have escalated, your contingencies are gone, well gone already. And those are supposed to be for overruns in the process,
right. No, that's,
not prior to.
I don't know. So these houses in Cornwall, there are two houses, that one that's now occupied and one that they're seeking someone. They just went for $250,000. Now, do we call that affordable?
Yeah, well,
back in, you know, 20 years ago, that would have been out of the reach of anybody. So,
well, and it depends.
I don't know.
Depends on the dynamics of interest rates and everything else as well, because home interest rates are starting to ease back, but they're still fairly high.
So the other question is, do you qualify? Are these affordable homes, let's say, mortgage ready? In other words, do they come with a mortgage that a person is eligible for? And I know that sounds semi-ludicrous, but
it's not. The mortgage is paid for by the organization, but there's a formula as to who's eligible.
Okay.
You have to be,
okay.
I don't know.
So, all right.
If you're spending more than 30 is it 30% of your...
No more than 30%.
30% of your income on housing, yep. then it's affordable?
Then you're eligible.
Eligible.
Yeah. Yeah, doesn't make it affordable.
But, yeah.
Well, and you've got a couple of models, too. You have the models where the organization owns the land but sells
right.
the house. You've got ones where Habitat for Humanity builds a house and they buy it, and that's all over with.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have, of course, the rental thing. You know, I don't see a lot of that in the process. Now, Salisbury's got two big possibilities in that, but they just continue to be lingering out there.
Well, it's definitely something we're going to be,
okay.
I'm sure, reporting on all year.
Well, let's...
Safe bet. Good job, Ruth. What else?
Well, there are projects all around, other things. Here in Kent, we have a huge library project that's going to, as we say, supposed to be shovel ready in January. That mirrors some of what Sharon did at the Hotchkiss Library. They're moving out. They will be housed in the Congregational Church Parish House, where people will go for their library functions. And in Kent, we have an interesting, you know, we have an ongoing book sale on the library lawn. It goes from May, every weekend, from May to October. And that's a huge income for the library. So with the construction, they wondered what they were going to do. And it turns out that the Kent Greenhouse has offered to house that book sale. So things will be different next year. You won't be in the center of town to stroll around and find the book sale, but you will find it just south of town. It's another example of neighbors helping each other, which is always very nice, the church and the Kent Greenhouse helping out an organization to make sure the project works. So
is there a timeline they're expecting to finish this up with?
Well, as we all know,
those don't usually work, but
yeah.
Let's hear one anyway.
Yeah, well, I think they thought they were going to start a long time ago. They haven't started. They're starting in January, we think. I mean, again, you know, I haven't seen any shovel in the ground yet either here.
Do you know if the finance, well, sometimes, too, you've got a lot of things in the air right now. Is their financing solid, or are there iffies inside of there somewhere?
They say the financing is solid,
okay.
Yeah.
Well,
they've gotten big grants and private donations, yes. So we're hopeful. So that's something else that's coming down the pike in 2026.
What about the wave machine?
Excuse me?
The wave machine or whatever it is.
Well, that could be coming back too. We assume that there will be a big fight because, as you know, that's the wave machine on Lake Warmug. This group decided they wanted to install it. Neighbors and community members in the three towns that surround the lake, that's Kent, Washington, and Warren, really put up a huge fight and voted it down in all three towns, this ordinance. But this group has come back, and they looks like they'll be seeking again to put this in. So that could be another issue that we face this year.
We could really look forward. We could hope and think good thoughts and hope that resolves the same way as, and I'm going to get the name wrong, but what was the project in Canaan that they...
River Woods?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, so,
that
we should see... A little, it's going to be 24 to 36 months before we see activity up there. That's the 245 acres that was planned for a huge subdivision, and they've changed it now to make it the owner has decided to sell it to the Northwest Connecticut Land Conservancy, so that's going to be a nice public nature preserve. Everybody will
be able to. But it's so beautiful there.
It's gorgeous. It's right on the Housatonic. It borders the Blackberry River. The site from Weetog Road is fabulous. So, yep, that was a real plus this year. And, of course, I don't think we've heard the end of the issue on Northern Dutchess Paramedic either. As we know, that was, as of January 1st, it's no longer going to be servicing out of Sharon Hospital. New Vance Northwell will be providing a paramedic, but there's a lot of uproar in the emergency personnel community about that, and the fear that we won't be getting the same service as we are now.
Now, who was it that cut the cord on that? I thought
it was New Vance.
Yeah.
New Vance or the new organization?
No.
Well, New Vance Northwell. It's sort of...
Oh, they haven't decided what they're going to call it yet.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's called New Vance / Northwell, right. So it's sort of...
So if I'm getting this right, they cut that, and they have a plan to put in place for it, or no?
They have New Milford.
They're going to have somebody come up from New Milford, stop in come to New Milford from wherever, stop, and then go to Sharon and spend the day there. However, the folks who are opposed to it say, first of all that travel time, who's going to be covering? And
when they spend the day, what do we mean? A 24-hour day? Or
12-hour shift.
12-hour shifts.
12-hour shifts.
And was that the
same
thing? Because you mentioned the last time that Dutchess was based in Rhinebeck and came out of there.
Yeah. I think they may have, satellite places closer.
One in Mellerton on Route 22, isn't that part of them?
It could be. I don't know.
I think that's where they launch from here. Out
because
of that
they
Mellerton
come pretty
unit.
Fast.
Yeah,
and I can't imagine.
I'm pretty sure that's on Route 22, just past Harney T's, heading towards Aminia. They have a facility there, and that's the one I think services us. And So back to the 12-on-12. So you're going to have 12 hours, but in between each of these times, you're not going to have somebody available during the drive period, which is what, 45 minutes?
An hour each way.
Hour each way.
That's what
they. That's right. It goes back. Then there's no ambulance. Wow.
Well, that's what they're saying.
So that's essentially what 4 hours a day of. What happens next?
Yeah. Well.
Interesting.
So are there discussions or are we just? Oh,
what's next? The selectman, Dave Barger in Falls Village, is calling a meeting. He said he's hosting at the Emergency Services Center in Falls Village sometime in January. To have everybody involved. Now, we're talking local volunteers, ambulance squads, we're talking hospital, we're talking first selectmen who have a vested interest in this. These groups have already been meeting, but...
How about the state of Connecticut? Are they weighing in on this?
They've talked to legislators, too, so those people may be coming, and I suppose maybe somebody will say... decide to bring the state in as well. Yeah,
it's interesting because also, too, when you add in wintertime like this, it's,
can you imagine a day like today?
And I don't know where they're located in New Milford, so I can't speak
for that.
Oh, at
the hospital, I believe. I think they're going to go from...
Yeah, but with the ones that we've been coming out of Mellerton there, they're all main roads, which tend to be open the bulk of the time.
Yeah,
they're set to run on about anything. I mean, they come out as best they can, no matter what the stuff is. But still,
I'm sure they're out there today. This past week on slippery driveways.
Do they have any mutual aid arrangements?
Well, there's mutual aid in between
the local departments.
Right,
just the local. No, departments.
And that was the other thing. Talking to the folks who work for.
Because none of the locals have paramedics, right?
Correct.
So they
have
to have
ALS, which BLS is basic life support, which is what our local ambulances provide, and the paramedics provide ALS, which is advanced life support. So they have medicines and things that the locals don't have.
Okay. All right.
But and these folks who are local. Say that they have a relationship. They know these towns. They know the people. They know where to go quickly. And somebody new can have a larger learning curve.
Oh, yeah.
No, but the hospital feels that, and they've said, the hospital representatives say they'll be working on it to strengthen the program and see what happens.
And is there, since the first is just about upon us, is there a bridge plan, so to speak? You know, or is it just done and
starts January 1
on Saturday and hope?
Yeah, no, it just starts up January 1. She said,
"Happy New Year!" And
yeah, Happy New Year. don't be in need real quick.
Yeah,
at least give a couple of hours.
We need notice. Yeah.
Nothing to laugh about, actually.
No,
it's so strange that they would cut the wire without having a really decent plan. I'm sorry, this doesn't sound like a decent plan.
You're absolutely right.
I could be wrong about that, but
there must be more. And I'm not saying this to be. It's just somebody somewhere must know more about this than we do, because it's just too. I'm sorry, it's too gaping. It's like, you know, if this were a focus group, somebody would have looked up and said, you know, come on, guys, we got to deal with this differently. You'd hope.
Yeah, well, we have a lot of issues like that.
Yeah, oh, that's true. And the late notice, too, that's another thing that strikes me.
That
you know,
was,
it's like,
well,
let's just wait
really,
till December 31st.
That was really stuck in the craw of these NDP and the ambulance squads. If you talk to the folks there, you know, they get this notice on December 11th, and
That's the part that in my opinion, that's the part that makes no sense. It's like, okay, really? I remember somebody coming to me once and giving me, I'm giving you my notice. It's like, what do you think I am? A factory? Mm-hmm. You know, so it seems like somebody has, it seems like there is a communication. What we have is some sort of failure to communicate somewhere. And the question is where and how quickly that can be remedied.
I think you're right when you say there's more to this than, you know, meets the eye. So.
It's got to be.
Well, we'll start learning that in the coming year here.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got affordable housing. We've gotten your critical life support if you're in need. What else is going to come up in 26, do you think?
Well, garbage.
Garbage. Oh, yes. And
garbage.
Recycling and trash.
Yeah.
And they have been in iffy situations for what? A couple of years now.
Well, they knew Mira was closing.
Yeah.
And we're trucking our garbage now out west.
Well, and they knew the burn plant needed updated and for the wet trash, but they didn't bother to update it. So
those who belong to HRRA have no, I mean, they're
That's
literally
right.
taking their garbage and trucking it or training it out west to a dump.
Yeah.
Or dumps. The selectmen have been working like fiercely trying to come up with some kind of a plan. And so something's got to give this year.
And with both the recycling and the regular waste there,
mm-hmm.
you're talking big money to get something new started up. And then we're back to the old battle of where do you put it?
Yeah, there's been lots of talk about a station in Torrington. I honestly don't know where that is at this point. I know COG has been talking to the first selectman in all these towns. And the only town that's not in the bind is Kent. We years ago signed on to Housatonic Resources Recovery Authority down in Brookfield, and so our trash is going there, transfer stations down that area, and we have a huge recycling program that has just expanded to is expanding more and more into composting and food waste. We had a big celebration here. We have three areas where you can dump food waste anytime. One off Main Street, one in front of the closed transfer station, and one in the transfer station. So we are a real prime example of a good program that's saving money by separating food waste. Lakeville does some. I know Barbara Bedegal has been at the forefront of that.
Yeah, that's been flying as kind of a test program, and you take it right directly to the station where they have several bins there.
But right.
I don't know when or if they're going to move forward. Your satellite sites that you have in Kent for the food waste.
Yeah.
They're well secured, no bear problems, or?
Yeah, they're well secured. You have to have an app to be able to get into them. I mean, you can't just, it's really quite the thing.
Yeah, because that's the first thing that flies in my mind is the bears.
No, these are very sturdy. They're interesting. We had a demonstration and a sort of a ribbon cutting a few weeks ago. And they explained how, you know, you can't just keep them open and have people throwing garbage in them. So you have to have an app and sign up and in order to be able to open it. And it's amazing. I see that every month, every week at our transfer station, the amount of food waste that's coming out of the waste stream and not being charged for garbage. It's huge.
Yeah. No, there's a lot of food waste in this country.
Tremendous.
We tend to do that a lot. Well, all right, guys. Well, you said we didn't have much to talk about, but we managed to talk about it anyway.
And we know that there's still more that's going to happen.
That's right. You've got elections, midterm elections that are all part of this. It's like there's so much excitement coming forward in 2026 that I can hardly contain myself. So
you're jumping up and down.
Yep. On that note, I'm going to fly it on over to Jill, who's going to take us on out of here today.
And I'm going to say, Ruth, we so appreciate your contribution this year, and we will talk to you next year. This has been another edition of What's Going On Out There, Ruth, with Ruth Epstein, Robin Hood Radio's rambling, traveling, just added that, adventurous, cogent, etc. reporter.